This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and you have tuned in to the right episode. I hope that this episode goes bonkers. I hope that you listen, that you share it with 20 people that you know, because today we're talking about insecurity and fear of what other people might be thinking. Fear of the way others might be judging us. I am simultaneously so excited about this episode, and also I feel this deep sense of peace and conviction. I want to talk about this more. I want this to be the beginning, not of a theoretical conversation about insecurity and judgment, but the beginning of every one of us taking more determined action, more consistent action to overcoming our own insecurities, not limiting ourselves based on fear of what other people might think, no longer giving as much energy and attention to manufacturing, making up, inventing what other people might think, and not judging other people. Which is a big ask, I know. But this is something I want to talk much more about. So I want to encourage you right out of the gate. If you have thoughts, questions, comments, concerns about this episode, let me know. You can direct message me on Instagram. You can find me there at Elizabeth Benton. You can comment on the show notes or you can email me. Quick note about the show notes. A lot of people are confused about the description of the episode that shows up in iTunes, the Apple Podcast Player, Spotify, etc. versus show notes. So the show description is not the show notes. The only place the show notes live is on primalpotential.com. So when we're listening to an episode and I say primalpotential.com/543, that is the show notes page. It is the only show notes page. There is a description in where whatever format you use to listen to podcasts, but that's not the show notes. It's just the show description. So show notes, just for clarity, live on primalpotential.com. Little side note, because I've been getting some confused emails about that and wanted to clarify. I am pumped to talk about insecurity and judgment. Like I said, I could talk about it all day, every day, and really want to shift to more conversations about this, again, not for the sake of understanding it better, but for the sake of working to overcome it. Before we do that, though, I want to take a few minutes to give to a discussion about the clean wine line from Thrive Market. And I'm bringing it up because A, it's new. B, it's holiday season, so we are buying and sometimes drinking more wine. And C, because Thrive Market is a sponsor of the show, and since they've made a really big addition to their offerings by providing alcohol, and not only alcohol, but clean wines, I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about what they have done. A lot of people don't know that when you buy a standard traditional wine off the shelf at a liquor store or a grocery store, there are a lot of additives in that product. So we're talking chemicals, but also talking things like sugar to enhance the flavor or the color or the mouthfeel. And those additives really not only contribute to the flavor profile that they're trying to create, but also can contribute to how you feel when you drink. So that foggy feeling, that hangover, it's actually not always, and I would even say not frequently, about the alcohol you consume, but rather the additives, the chemicals, and the sugars that are added to that thing. So when we talk about clean wines, whether we're talking about organic or we are talking about no added preservatives or colorants, or we're talking about the fact that we aren't adding sugar, That is not only going to be better for what you're introducing to your body, minimizing the toxins, sugars, and chemicals that we consume, but also it is going to improve your experience of drinking wine in terms of how you feel. One claim that I know Thrive Market probably can't make, but I will share from my own experience and the experience of people who have had many, many conversations about wines that are organic and have no added sugars versus traditional or standard wines that don't meet those criteria, is that you don't get the same kind of hangover, headache, etc. when you are drinking a higher quality, higher purity product that you do when you are not. Which is why I was really excited when Thrive Market announced just a couple months ago that they were bringing forward this line of clean wines. And they've been very selective about the wines that they pick, but also kept the price points really, really low. So we're talking about sustainable farming, right? Working with vineyards that have good farming practices so they're not depleting the land and developing wines that then become really void of the nutrients we would see if there were better farming practices. So sustainably farmed and minimal intervention in the process of making the wine. So minimal or no additives, sugars added, flavors added, colorants added, etc. It is really high quality stuff at very affordable prices. We're talking price points in the teens, right? So $15, $16, $17, $18 bottles of wine that are very high quality. Better for your body, but also better for your drinking experience. Less likely to get a hangover. So because many people will be bringing a gift, it's one of the easiest and most affordable ways to bring something to a holiday party, a gift swap, etc. That's why I've bought a few cases for those kinds of things. If you go through, this is a different link than the regular Primal Potential affiliate link that I share with you guys before. ThriveMarket.com/Primal Wine. ThriveMarket.com/Primal Wine. I'm also going to put that link in the show notes. Again, the show notes live at primalpotential.com/543. But when you shop through thrivemarket.com/primal wine, you can choose from reds, you can choose from whites, you can choose a combination of the two. I'm more of a red wine drinker, but whatever suits your fancy, you will get an extra 25% off your first order up to $20. So if it exceeds that, you're going to be maxed at a discount of $20. But hello, I'll save $20 any day of the week. And you also get a free 30-day trial membership to Thrive Market. So if you are thinking about what you want to bring to that holiday party, what you want to give for that gift swap, think about it and try it for yourself. My mom was all excited. She got her first case the other day and she said, I didn't know what to expect, but it was so good. And we also had a couple of cases sent to our Master's Club retreat that was a few weeks ago. And people absolutely loved them. We got a blend of the reds and the whites and they were all very, very much enjoyed. So thrivemarket.com/primal wine. If you want to just make better choices for your own wine consumption or you want a really great gift to give at a very reasonable price point, check it out and make sure to let me know what you think. With that said, let's take a hard right turn and talk about insecurity and judgment. Our whole reason for this conversation is not about understanding these behaviors better, though that's a big part of the process. What we're really trying to get at is not letting it limit our experience of life. Not staying on the sidelines because of our insecurities, because of the things we think or we fear others might be thinking about us. And I want to emphasize that this is not just a weight conversation, though a lot of my own personal experience that I'll draw upon in terms of insecurity is related to my weight. Guys, this could be about anything. This could be about your age. It could be about your job. It could be about your gender or your financial status, anything that makes you feel less than is what we're really talking about here. Sometimes we believe in these insecurities so much that we don't even recognize that there is a different perspective available to us, right? For me, I believed for so long with so much conviction that I wasn't good enough because of my weight that I didn't even entertain the idea that I could think about it differently. Sometimes we attach so strongly to the things we don't like about ourselves or the things we've assumed for so long that others don't like about us that we haven't opened ourselves up to the option that there is an entirely different way to go through life that will allow for so much more confidence. What I'm getting at here is that the things that erode our confidence, whether it is the shape of your body, the size of your body, the amount of money you have, anything, you don't have to let that limit your experience of life anymore. You do not have to continue to let that chip away at your happiness, at your willingness to be social, your comfortability connecting with others. It doesn't have to continue to limit you. When you let it limit you, even though it feels subconscious, it feels automatic, it feels like the only option there is, it's a choice. And there are other choices you can make. I don't want to be the kind of person who has a lesser experience of life, of relationships, of fun, of adventure because of the size of my hips or my age or my relationship status or anything like that. I don't want to be that kind of person. But that's more than a decision. It's more than a desire. It must become a practice. And what that means is we've got to start paying attention to the way we're limiting ourselves, the way we engage with people, the things we do, the way we feel, the way we think. We've got to become aware of when and how we are limiting ourselves and choose to do things differently. I don't want to be the kind of person who makes up stories about what other people might be thinking and then limits my behavior, my attitude, or my happiness because of something I straight up invented, a story I told myself. I don't want to be that kind of person. That means I must recognize when I am doing that and act differently. For example, I love music. I love to sing. I love to dance. And I am working on recognizing when I'm not doing something because of what other people might think. A song comes on in a bar and I'm with my boyfriend and I love that song and I would love to get up and dance with him, but what might other people think? Nobody else is dancing. That comes from fear. That comes from insecurity. Judgment, fear, insecurity, all kissing cousins, all closely linked. So either I stay in that safe zone where, oh, I'm not going to do that because other people might look at me. They might think bad thoughts about me. They might think I'm weird. I might have people have their eyes on me. I'm the center of attention. I don't want that. Well, I can either continue to live small based on that fear, let that fear limit my experience, or I can say, I recognize it. I don't want to be that person. And that means I'm up. I'm dancing, so what, now what? And I become bolder, and I become more confident, and I become a more authentic, happier version of myself as I do those things. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, that terrifies me. Perfect. Perfect. That's the point. Or you might be thinking, I would never do that. And if you would never do that because you don't have that desire, right, then that's not the point. I'm not saying that Joe Schmo in the bar who's never had that thought should get up and start dancing. No. But maybe he doesn't go out because he thinks people would think it's weird that he's at the bar by himself. So he stays home. That is the fear he needs to dance with. Feeling the fear, the insecurity, the worry about what other people might be thinking, and getting up and doing something about it, behaving differently. Life is so short, and it is so precious. And I don't want to be the kind of person who has a lesser experience of it because of my fears, because of my insecurities. The key is translating that from a desire into a practice. I don't want to live in a way that is limited by my imagination, my fears, what I am afraid other people might think, assumption, fantasy. So I have to turn that into a practice. When am I thinking about what other people might think? Do it anyway. I used to get really nervous when meeting new people. And the more I cared about the people, the more nervous I would become. So whether it was the family of a guy I was dating, or a new vendor at work, or being introduced into a new social setting, and I would start to think about how they might perceive me. And sometimes it wasn't even subconscious, or it wasn't even conscious. It was more subconscious. So while I might not have recognized it in the moment, in hindsight, thinking about the fears and the feelings, it was, they might not like me because I'm fat. Or what should I wear that makes me look the least fat? I mean, if you haven't figured this out yet, it doesn't really matter what you wear. It's not dramatically changing your shape or your size. So let's all give a little bit less freak out to what we put on, because the black pants versus the jeans, you look the same size. So wear what you feel best in. Like, little side note, that one's free. It's all free, actually. This whole podcast. Hey, it's free. Look at that. Anyways, I would have this emotionally draining thought process, much of which was subconscious. I wasn't actively engaged in it. It was just this tape that would run in my head, nervous about what other people would think about me. And it was insecurity. And specifically, it was insecurity about my weight, fears that whomever I was meeting would judge me because of my weight, wouldn't like me because of my weight, would think bad thoughts about me because of my weight. And that kept me from doing a lot of things. It kept me from dating. It would keep me from going on a beach vacation with other couples when I was in a relationship. It would keep me from a million different things. One of the challenges I want you to give to yourself, turning this into a practice, is when you recognize those sorts of fear thoughts, insecurity thoughts, I want you to ask yourself, what does this fear mean? What am I assuming somebody might be thinking or feeling? And it's not as surface as, it's about my weight and I'm afraid that someone's going to judge me because of my weight. There's something behind that still. Saying they might not like me, they might not respect me because of my weight. What is behind that? What does that mean? And what that specific insecurity means, and again, for you, it might not be about your weight. It's just the most applicable way for me to share from my own experience. What was behind that for me was a belief that being big, being fat, isn't as good as being thin. That fat is wrong and thin is right. That my weight is what determines if people like me or not. Again, could be about money, could be about age. But if you are nervous about going to a particular thing because you might be the oldest or you might be the youngest, what is behind that is that one is better than the other. And that whether or not you're accepted comes from that thing, your weight, your size, your age, your gender, your marital status, your financial status, whatever that is. I want you to identify that because I want you to be able to ask yourself, is that how I want to feel about other people? Do I want to assume that the overweight people, the fat people in my life, aren't as good as the people who aren't fat? Hell no, I don't want to be that person. That terrifies me that somebody could think I feel that way. So if I don't feel that way, or I don't want to feel that way, I don't want to be that person, then why in the world would I project that belief onto other people? How disrespectful of them? And more importantly, why would I limit my life based on a belief that I don't want to subscribe to? I'm not going to make a judgment. Let's say that it's meeting a boyfriend's parents, right? And I'm all up in my head anxious about it because of my weight. Do I think so little of these people that I've never even met yet that I'm going to assume they measure a person's worth based on their size? That's disrespectful to the other person. What an awful assumption to make. And maybe you're thinking, oh no, I know that these people in my life think that fat is worse than thin and that fat people aren't as good as thin people or young people and old people or wealthy people and not as wealthy people, whatever it is. Well, then let me ask you this. Do you want a relationship with that person anyway? I don't want that kind of person in my life. I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to limit my experience of life based on a belief that I don't subscribe to. I don't want to project that belief onto somebody else. I want to be a better human than that, assuming somebody is that kind of person that they would think that way. And if I'm at a bar and some random stranger is thinking, who's this girl thinks she is that she gets up and dances with her boyfriend? Well, perfect, because first, they probably won't express that to me, but even if they did, thank you for filtering yourself out of my life, because now I know that you're not somebody I want to invest in, because I want wonderful people in my life, and I don't want people who think I'm less of a human because I did the thing I wanted to do and got up and happily danced with my boyfriend in the middle of the damn room. Build a practice. What is the belief behind the fear? Do you want to be the kind of person who thinks that way? Do you want to be the kind of person who makes a judgment that somebody you haven't even met or you haven't even asked them, maybe it's somebody you do know, and you're making these assumptions about your friends or your family members? Do you want to be the kind of person that assumes that they think that way? That's a terrible assumption to make. And then lastly, building the practice of saying, if I know that somebody feels this way, then can I just accept the fact that I'm glad I know because I don't want to build relationships with those people? I don't want to invest my energy. I certainly don't want to give them any of my joy, any of my happiness or peace of mind. Right? That is the practice. The other big part of this is about our own response to fear. We talked about this a lot while I was away with the Master's Club just a few weeks ago. We talked about the idea that fear is a doorway. And many of us never go through the door. We stay on the other side of fear. We let that be the barrier. I feel the fear. Okay, I better stop. Fear of judgment, fear of criticism, fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection, and we stop right there. You don't wear that new dress because you fear that other people will think your arms look too big. Or you don't ask that person out because you fear that they won't like you back. Or you don't wear your bathing suit on the beach because you fear what other people might be thinking. If You have those tendencies. And I certainly lived most of my life that way, and I'm in an active practice of not living my life that way anymore. But if you've lived your life that way, then what you're saying is, fear is the doorway that I won't go through. So my life can only expand to the limits of my fear. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want to live that way. What a small life I would have if my life only expanded to the limits of my fear. When I went on a cruise with my boyfriend and his family, I wouldn't have worn a bathing suit if that's how I chose to live. Well, that would suck. Being on a cruise ship and not wanting to swim because of what other people might think about my body. Because of the fears and the insecurities I have about my body. No, I don't want to live that small. Maybe you have something you want to share with the world, but you haven't started sharing it, whether starting a business or launching a podcast or writing a blog or whatever it is, because you fear that you won't be good enough, that no one will care. Well, if you submit to that, what you're saying is my life can only expand to the borders of my fear and it can't go any further. Fear is a doorway. You don't have to stop at it. You can go through it. And as you do, when you do, every time you do, your world gets bigger. I am always looking for those doorways of fear. One came up just a couple weeks ago when I was at the gym. I guess it was probably a couple months ago now. I was in a workout and I wasn't dressed appropriately. I think what that means, I was really, really hot. I think I had either worn a lined shirt or maybe I wore long sleeves or whatever it was. I was like really, really hot. And I wanted to take my shirt off, but I was in a class full of other people and I caught myself thinking about what other people might think. Other people looking at my midsection, my torso, people thinking you should have left your shirt on. But the key thing is there, that was all in my imagination. I straight up invented it. So I can either stop at that doorway of fear, leave your shirt on, Elizabeth, because other people might dot, dot, dot. You've invented this scenario in which people might be thinking dot, dot, dot. And in those moments, I challenge myself by saying, if I were totally alone, if nobody else was in this room right now, what would I do? Well, I would take my damn shirt off. I would work out in my sports bra. Perfect. Do that. It's the only authentic way to be. And it's the only way to see that doorway of fear and go through it instead of stopping at it. You've got a choice to make. Because life is going to continue happening anyway. Are you participating or are you on the sidelines limiting yourself based on your fears and your made up invented stories about what other people might think, not giving them the benefit of the doubt? Because it is entirely possible that everybody in that gym didn't think anything about me taking my shirt off. That's a possibility. Why do I got to assume the negative about their thoughts? That's a crappy thing to do to somebody else. It's entirely possible that they wouldn't think a thing. People don't think about us as much as we think they do. It's also entirely possible that they were thinking, oh, I'm so glad she took her shirt off. I want to take my shirt off. Or they could be thinking, way for her to go, like, way to be confident. Or sure, it is within the realm of possibility that they think, hey, chubby, put your shirt back on. But do I want to limit my choices, my experience of life based on an invented, imaginary conversation I'm having in my head? My answer is no, I don't. So I took my shirt off and I worked out in my sports bra. So yes, I wasn't like, you know, freestyling, no bra. I had a sports bra on. It's pretty common, no different than wearing a bathing suit or anything like that. But the point is, notice the fear and understand that you have a choice to limit yourself based on imaginary possibilities or go through the door. Feel the fear, move through it. Don't stop. I want you to practice catching yourself when you're inventing what other people might be thinking. maybe you're getting dressed to go to a holiday party and you're thinking about what other people are going to think about your outfit. You're making up stories, you've entered into fantasy land, you've left reality, and you are creating a hostile environment entirely made up based on assumptions. Stop that. A huge part of moving beyond insecurity and judgment is leaving the drama at the door. Stop. So many of us are in such a habit of this that we don't even recognize when we've straight up left reality and we're manufacturing all these scenarios in our head. We do it so often it feels normal. Catch yourself when you're thinking about what other people might think of you in that dress or you in those pants or if your face looks round when you wear your hair down or if it looks like all of that. You've left reality. You're making up stories. What other people might think is none of your business. You'll never know unless you ask. And even if you ask, you never know if they're telling you the truth. Do not live your life based on a story about what other people might think. Do you like your outfit? Do you like your hair that way? Do you want to take your shirt off in the workout? Do you want to wear your bathing suit? If no one else was around, what would you do? If you were on a beach and it was just you, your spouse wasn't there, your kids weren't there, your friends weren't there, there were no strangers there, who would you be trying to hide from? Don't limit your experience of life based on the fears in your head. This is a practice. Yes, it will be uncomfortable, but I say it's also not uncomfortable to live scared, to play small, to limit your life to the margins of your fear. One of the fundamental things behind insecurity is this idea that you're not enough. Insecurity is rooted in the idea that you're not enough. And I want you to practice thinking in complete thoughts. You think you're not enough. For who? Because why? Is that the kind of person you want to be? Do you believe that about others? Why believe that about yourself? There will be people that don't think you're enough. Do you want to limit your experience of life because of those people? I don't. Right? If you actually don't like me because of my size, bye, bye-bye, bye, leave quickly, ain't got no room for you. I don't want you in my life, period. Period. If I get up and dance with my boyfriend at a bar and you think awful thoughts about me and it's not something I made up, you actually walk up and go, what are you guys doing? That's ridiculous. Sit down. Nobody, blah, 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 whatever. That's never happened. But let's say it did. Bye. Bye-bye. You're not my person. Bye. I don't want to be your friend. I certainly don't want to give you any ounce of my energy. If you see me rocking a bathing suit, and you think my midsection is too thick or I should have a cover-up on? Bye. I don't want to be friends with that person. I don't want to invest energy in that person. That's certainly not a person that I want determining how big I live my life. Nope. Nope. You're out, buddy. You don't get my energy. But there's a couple of caveats that are worth mentioning here. We have to practice no longer assuming that people are thinking that way. It is a terribly unkind thing to place onto somebody that they will think we should put on a cover-up, that they will think we should sit down and shut up. Stop making those assumptions. Stop making those assumptions. The second thing is, and this one's going to push a lot of buttons, and I am excited to push those buttons because I believe we need to have this conversation. Stop judging other people. The reason that thought is in your head about, oh, I shouldn't wear a bathing suit because people are going to be looking at me and judging me, the only reason that thought exists in your head is because you've had it about somebody else at some point. Our fears of how others might judge us often reflect how we judge other people. So one of the keys that gets overlooked in how to overcome insecurity and fear of what other people are thinking is do not judge other people. For real, if you are listening and you would have thoughts about the size of my legs, my butt, my arms, my torso, my whatever, if I get up and dance with my boyfriend, if I take my shirt off on a workout, I wouldn't ever be your friend while you think that way. I am open to the fact that people can change and I welcome those people into my life. But just think about that for a second. If you don't want other people thinking that about you, don't you dare be that person. You start recognizing when you're judging others and you stop. I know I've shared this story before on the podcast. I was out to dinner with a group of people and a woman walked into the restaurant wearing a very, very, very tight dress. It was really, really tight, second skin style. And she was a large woman. We can recognize that that's not our style and we might not wear that ourselves, but she's not me. So she gets to do it her way, right? We don't have to say, oh, I should dress that way too, right? But it doesn't mean we judge that person for doing it. That's just none of your freaking business, right? So anyway, I'm at this dinner and this woman walks in and I certainly recognized her. I would probably recognize, you know, pay attention to almost anybody who walks right past my table, but it certainly was like, wow, that's tight. And somebody that was at the table with me whispered to the person next to them, and we were close enough that I could tell that they were basically they said that person shouldn't wear that dress. And here's what I did. I said, you know, you get to think however you want to think. Like, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life. However, what I want you to know is how what you just said impacts my relationship with you. Because what you've just shown me is that you are the kind of person who judges what somebody else wears. So now I'm wondering what you think of my outfit. And I'm going to be wondering that the next time. Now, it's not going to stop me because I'm doing this work, right? If I recognize that I'm thinking, oh, geez, is so-and-so going to think that my outfit's too tight or whatever? I'm going to be like, oh, I should go tighter then because don't care at all. That's my practice. But I said to her, you get to do it your way. But what you tell me when you act that way is that that's how you think about people's outfits. You're making an assessment of whether or not their body is appropriate for what they're wearing. And I don't want that in my friend circle. Like, it just doesn't make me happy. I want friends who are like, wear whatever you want, right? It doesn't mean they have to like it. They don't have to love it. They don't even have to approve of it, but they're not judging me for it. Like, you do you. I don't care what you wear. I'm not friends with you because of what you wear. And I think she had never really thought about it like that before. And who knows if she's changed her behavior or not. It's certainly a practice. It's not a single moment decision. But I'm sharing that story because many of you who worry about what other people might think of you in a bathing suit or you in that outfit or your age or your financial status, you are actively judging other people. One of the fastest ways to overcome your own insecurities is to no longer think that way about other people. Because as you look at other people and go, hey, good on you for wearing that dress. Like, cool. Or I just don't care what you're wearing. As you think that way about other people, it becomes the way you think. Not just about other people, but also the way you think about yourself. So when I'm getting dressed and I'm like, oh, geez, am I going to be overdressed or underdressed? Or are people going to think this is too low? Or are people going to think this is too tight? Or are people going to think my butt looks too big in this or whatever it is? I'm so close to, well, I would never think that way about somebody else. And the way that I think reflects the way I assume other people might be thinking. And so because I have this practice that if I see a really overweight guy in a Speedo, I'm not thinking he should never wear that. Because I don't think that way about others, I'm way less likely to assume that other people think that way about me. So stop being that judgmental person. we tend to think that people are thinking the thoughts that we think ourselves. If you want to be someone who feels more confident and less insecure, one of the fastest ways to make that shift is really working hard to stop judging others. Check yourself and your thoughts about other people. And I'm not sorry if that rubs you the wrong way, because I want you to think about the last time you remarked about somebody's weight. Ooh, so-and-so's gained weight, or their outfit, or anything else that you commonly experience insecurity about, because judgment and insecurity are very closely linked. One of the other real practices here goes back to minimizing drama. What is the drama-free version of what is happening here? I'm just trying to decide what to wear. Or I'm just going into a situation where I'm meeting somebody new. When we strip away the drama and the story, we can identify how crazy it is. What is happening here without my drama? What is happening here? What is the situation without my insecurity? And as we do that, we recognize that the insecurity, the drama, the mental dialogue is optional. You don't have to submit to it. When you're in your closet getting dressed and there's this whole dialogue about how none of your clothes fit and nothing looks good and you look like a whale in everything, what is happening without the drama is that you're trying to decide what to wear to work. This doesn't have to become a 45-minute or day-long emotional roller coaster about how you hate your body. You're just picking out an outfit. If the issue is, I think my legs are too big. Well, you still need to wear something to work today. And what are you going to do to make progress on the leg front? What is happening here without the story? Are you willing to limit your life only up to the borders of your fear? If you're not, it must become a practice. Where am I feeling that pushback of fear? What am I going to do to step through that doorway instead of stopping? Guys, not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to approve of you. Not everybody is going to think nice thoughts about your age, your gender, your finances, your body. But do you want to let that limit how you go through life? Because those people just aren't for you and it's none of your business. And if you limit yourself to avoid criticism, much of which you've made up in your head that people might be thinking, you are going to miss out on so much. I want to be someone who doesn't stop when I feel that fear. Right? And fear is very, very different from danger. This is something I write about in my new book, which will be coming soon. I'll be sharing more about it, including the title and all of that kind of stuff here very shortly. But, you know, fear is different from danger. Danger can stop me. If there's somebody that is really threatening, then I might adjust my behavior accordingly to keep myself safe. But fear is something altogether different. It's something that happens in our minds. And I'm not willing to limit my life only to the boundaries of my fear. Fear is a doorway, and I look for that doorway and I go through it to make my life happier, to make my life more rich, to make my life more rewarding, and you have that choice too. I want to share a small example of how I recognize these fear thoughts and I move forward. It's not just, you know, dancing in a bar, taking my sports bra, or I didn't take my sports bra off. That's how rumors get started. Taking my shirt off and working out in my sports bra. Last spring, I was spending the weekend with the Masters Club. I did that again just very recently, but this time it was in Indianapolis this past spring. And I'm always on the lookout for those fear thoughts, fear of what other people might think, manufacturing stories about what other people think, all that crazy stuff. And I was thinking thoughts related to the size of my legs, because I've just got big, strong legs. And it's something that I am actively becoming more and more proud of, and looking to embrace that fear and move forward in spite of it. And I did just that in preparing for the Masters Club weekend last spring. I bought and I wore bright pink pants. Now, I liked them, right? I didn't just go buy a clown suit for the sake of like doing something crazy. I found a pair of bright pink pants that I really, really liked. I think they're J. Crew pants. And that was my way of saying I recognize this desire to limit my experience because I feel bad about the size of my legs. But I have strong legs. And I've had strong legs since like the beginning of my life. This isn't something that's like a new development, right? I'm always going to, I'm not a bird leg person. It's not my build. And I have big legs, and that is the way that it is. And I bought and I wore happily these pink pants. And it wasn't for anybody else. It was a way to tell myself, you don't have to play small. You don't have to hide. You don't have to limit yourself in any way at any time, right? You can feel those insecurities. It's okay that they exist, but they do not have to limit your choices. You can say, I will step through this doorway of fear. I will go beyond it by. That is the practice. Whether we're talking about age, body size, body composition, fitness, finances, etc., it is not about meeting someone else's standards, because there will always be standards that you don't meet, and that will be your reality forever. What it is about is I set the standards for my body. I don't submit to somebody else's. I set the standards for my behavior, for the way that I dress, for the way that I talk, for my financial life, whatever it is, I set the standards. I don't submit to someone else's. The practice is recognizing when you're limiting or adjusting your perspective or your choices, or you're freaking out because of somebody else's standards, they do not set the standard. You can never be happy if your goal is to meet everybody's standards. It's not possible. We don't even know what people's standards are most of the time. Your body, your life doesn't need to meet somebody's standard. It just doesn't. It's not even possible. If you want to sing karaoke, sing karaoke. If you want to get up and dance, get up and dance. If nobody was on the beach, you'd run around comfortably in your bathing suit, then that is the thing you need to do, even if it makes you uncomfortable because other people are there. Let fear be the compass. Let it point you in the direction you need to go. Live fully versus living scared. I posted on Instagram just the other day, how do you want to go through your life, safely or fully? My vote for my life is fully. And you have the same choice. You can shrink to stay within the confines of your fear, or you can expand intentionally, seeking those doorways and going through it. Recognize when those fear thoughts are holding you back and move forward. Move forward. Engage it. And the steps that you take through that doorway of fear, they can be teeny, teeny, teeny baby steps like pink pants, or they can be big, huge ones. It doesn't matter. Just stop letting it limit you. Don't continue to blindly operate the way you've always operated. Engage with those feelings differently. Do something differently. And a huge part of this, guys, just on a final note, don't take it so seriously. This is your life. Lighten up. You want to get up and dance? It doesn't have to be this big, scary thing like, oh my God, what are people going to think? You want to enjoy your vacation with your kids on the beach? Take off the cover up. Don't be so serious about it. You only get one shot at this life. Get off the sidelines. Stop submitting to the fear. Stop making up stories about what other people think. Be bolder than that. Be bolder than that. Be fully yourself, not limited by fear. Unapologetically yourself, not apologizing for who or how or what you are. Enthusiastically yourself, not timid, not nervous, not worried about what other people think. The world needs more people who are not submitting to made-up fears about what other people are thinking. Do not forget that the most important part is committing to a practice of refusing to judge another person. So you wouldn't wear that outfit? Who cares? You don't have to. You don't have to judge them for wearing it, though. You see somebody who is really old in a CrossFit box? You don't have to think, why are they here? Why don't they do Pilates? Why don't they take a ballet class? Whatever your thought is, practice not judging them. You don't have to do CrossFit when you're 80, but they are. They get to. Cool. Same thing. Maybe you see somebody in a gym who is severely overweight. Cool. You don't need to start thinking like, oh, geez, they need to be here. Holy moly, that's a big person. Whatever it is. You see somebody in the grocery store who is severely overweight and they have a cart full of cookies and chips. You don't. Stop judging them. Stop judging them. Please. Because you don't want those kinds of people thinking that way about you. Don't think that way about other people. I'm going to get off my soapbox. And we're going to wrap up with a meal I loved recently, and a workout I loved recently, and an invitation to a webinar that I am hosting this week. The meal. I kind of cheated on this one. I picked it up at Whole Foods, and it was a pistachio-crusted salmon. I told you guys in episode 540 that I am trying to be better about incorporating omega-3s, eating more fish. I picked up this pistachio-crusted salmon pre-cooked from Whole Foods. It was so good. Probably could easily make it at home, too. A workout I loved recently was one that I did on Friday. 20-minute AMRAP, which means as many reps as possible or as many rounds as possible, doesn't really matter which one you go with in this workout, 20 minutes, as many reps as possible of 5 deadlifts, 5 hang power cleans, 5 front squats, 5 push press, 5 back squats. So you just keep cycling through that, no rest, to get as many reps as possible in 20 minutes. I love barbell work. That is like my happy kind of workout. And if you're thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds terrifying, or I have no idea what you're talking about, I want to challenge you to go back and listen to episodes 538 and 540. 538 and 540, I'll link them up in the show notes. Listen to those. Last thing before we say goodbye for the day. This week, I am hosting a free live webinar for anyone who is on the wait list for the Winter 12 Weeks to Transformation. And I'm going to be talking a lot about creating change and the things that get in the way and how we can clear out the excuses and the exceptions and all of that kind of stuff. But the only way to get the registration information for the webinar is going to be Thursday, December 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But the only people that are going to be invited to that webinar, because we will be talking about the Winter 2019 12 Weeks to Transformation, are those on the wait list. You can get on the wait list by just going to the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/543. If you're interested in more information about the 12 Weeks to Transformation, which kicks off in early January, 12 weeks of working with me, that is the place to go for your information, for the registration info for the webinar this Thursday, December 13th. If you've got any questions, shoot me an email, but head over to primalpotential.com/543 to get that information, get on the wait list, get links to episodes 538 and 540, or anything else that we talked about today, including the link to the clean wine line from Thrive Market. All of that will be over on the show notes page, primalpotential.com/543. And remember, I'd love to talk more about insecurity, judgment, fears, that sort of thing. So if you've got questions or comments, hit me up so that we can do some follow-up episodes here soon. Hope you have a great day. I'll chat with you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.